Hello and welcome to the Peace and Remedies of Loss. As Tanya indicated, this is an extension of a conversation, a coffee conversation we had about a month ago. And so we're looking forward to having a great conversation regarding loss and what we can do about it as organization designers. Next slide. Our mission in terms of ODF is to help practitioners make organizations more effective, successful, and inspiring for us all. Our focus today is going to be on organization design, though it's a plan change. It does surface loss and feelings of loss in organizations at the team and individual level as well. Next slide. Our objectives for this session are twofold: realities. Understand various losses that might be experienced by stakeholders during an organization design intervention. And secondly, to address remedies, to develop approaches as a group for how those losses might be remedied through one of two ways: the design itself or change management actions we might take in the process of implementing the organization design intervention. Next slide. We took an intermediate step to sort of group things together. Molly, would you walk us through this slide, please?
Yes, so when I received Mike's list of the different types of losses, there were more than 20 on the list. And I was like, Mike, this is great. I have really experienced all of these, except I need some buckets to put them in. 21 different things is kind of hard to wrap your arms around. So in trying to contextualize them, if you see that diagram, I often think about Zoom conversations that happen at different levels in the organization. And I found that was a helpful framework to think about these 21 different items. And so think about looking at a map of the United States. That's kind of that big strategic view. If it were a Google map, you're looking at 50 states. But if you double click on any one section and dive deeper, you start to look at the interchange, the highway connections. And that's really what happens to the conversations once strategy is in place. Then teams look to align their processes and their work, and that connection goes deeper. There's more trade-offs that begin to happen. And then certainly the individual focus. Okay, my team has decided this, but what does that mean to me? So, actually, on any given day, and in most conversations, I would argue that there are these different levels. And so, we use those today to try to bucket a way to think about these different types of losses and where they're most likely to show up, just as a frame of reference.
Next slide, please. Okay, one of the tools we're going to use today is the loss table. And the best way to think about the loss table, it's a way to organize our thinking as we look at losses that might be experienced during an org design intervention and what we might do to mitigate those losses. So we'll be using this today to guide our conversations and to structure our thinking. So let's take a look at how the table is organized. Across the headers, you'll see there are three different categories. We have the individual growth category, the team and process alignment category, and the purpose and sustainability category. And under them, you'll see each of the types of losses that pertain to that category. If we could go back now, previous slide. So let's take a look. There's the type of loss, and we just state what that is. In the next column, we look at what is the description of the loss, and then we all have a common understanding of what the loss means to us. So what we've done in preparation for today's session is we've actually went ahead and started to define or describe what each loss actually is. And then after we've come to understand what the nature of the loss is, we then look at the next column. If this is the loss we're experiencing, how did that loss come about? And what actions can we take as org designers to address that loss? either to minimize its impact or preclude it from happening or minimize it. And then the last column, we're looking at, as we're going through these conversations, things we can pull upon or things we discover in our conversations. What models or tools or resources or notes would inform our actions in terms of dealing with that loss in the future? So basically, we're identifying the type of loss, a description of what that loss is, how it might have come about, actions we can take to address that loss, mitigate it, and notes, models, or tools that might be helpful as we address those losses in the future. So let's walk through an example. Number 17 on the table is financial security. So that's the type of loss we've identified. So now we go to the description of how the loss might come about, or what is the description of that loss? So we're going to look at what that is. What's the definition of that? That kind of financial loss are the consequences that threaten the livelihood and or the financial security of stakeholders and people. So people may be impacted financially. So we've defined what that loss might look like. Okay. Then we go to the actions to address. And in our example here, we're looking at things like voluntary severance, severance packages, job transition support, extended benefits, tuition and training reimbursement, financial counseling services, or easing of role definitions to enable people to adapt and maybe deliver a different set of products and services for which there might be a demand. Okay. And then what kind of resources can we pull upon in the last column? Well, we can go to the Human Resources Department compensation group and ask them for their consulting support in this. We can go to our placement firms and identify those that would be helpful given our circumstances, or it might go to financial firms to help the people who might be separated from the organization manage their finances during their period of transition. So you can see how we're organizing our conversation here. We identify the type of loss, we come to a common understanding of what that loss is in terms of a description of it. Then we move to, after looking at how it might have come about, actions to address, what we can do about the loss, and then other things that might act as resources in the future. Next slide. And next slide after that. Okay, Molly.
So I might ask you to go back one slide for just a moment. The three categories here, if you each take a moment to just read through them, the one I'm going to offer an example about comes under the individual growth, the idea about certainty. Having individuals feel like they really know and understand their job and that things haven't changed so much. But I'll just ask you to take a moment and really just kind of scan those three columns because I'll bet they trigger experiences that you've had. It's a lot to take in at once. So now, Tanya, if you'll forward to the next slide. The one I want to talk about, as I just mentioned, was certainty, the category of the loss that people experienced at an individual and actually at a team level, but primarily for individuals. And what happened was a senior leadership team I had worked with, we had done some redesign of how the claims organizations, the process, we brought in some new software. They had a great plan. Unfortunately, what the senior team did not do was involve many people on the front line in this software redesign. And so when people saw it rolled out, They were up in arms because they sat down at their computers to do the work they do every day and nothing looked familiar. I'll never forget one lady looking at me saying, "It takes me seven clicks to get to a letter that I used to be able to access immediately. I don't know what's going on." So I had to give the senior leadership team the bad news that all their great work would have been better received if they had had more input from the front line. And so, what action did I take? After we worked through that, the action that I took is pulled the senior leadership team together and talked about really the people side of change. And I used a tool called the SCARF model. So, I'm guessing that many of you are familiar with David Rock's work from the Neuro Leadership Institute on SCARF. But what I asked the senior leadership team to consider in not bringing people into some of those decisions as they were being made is how did people feel, their relative importance? Well, I didn't feel so important because nobody even brought me into the conversation about this software that you changed. And certainty was really an issue. I don't even know if I know how to do my job with the scale and scope of the change. They also felt that loss of autonomy and how they felt safe, even working with each other. And was it fair? That was another big thing I heard from them was frontline didn't feel like it was fair. So I used this tool to really arm the leadership team to say, yes, you did good work. You were looking at it from your point of view, bringing a valuable tool. But you weren't looking at it from that individual contributor's point of view. And so we used this as a go forward model, if you will, to think about how to communicate changes and potential sense of loss for new initiatives as they moved forward. And it was really well received. So that's just one example of a change, a type of loss that people felt, the impact of it, and what we actually did to move forward and learn from that experience. And now it's your turn. So you logged in today to do a deeper dive. Let's do it. Jardina?
Okay, I'm going to share my screen. So actually, I'm going to put in the chat, and I'll explain this in a minute, but let me just put the Miro board in the chat. What we've created is a Miro board. We're going to put you into breakouts, and I'll give you some instruction in just a second. But we created a Miro board that you can use. It's your choice, but some of the slides we just showed are in there. The full table of the 21 types of loss or 23 is in there. And then some space if you want to use it to scribe some of the conversations you have in your breakout. It's your choice. It's convenience for you, but you don't have to. And then Molly, was there another slide that shows the so what now what thing that you want me to go through?
I think it's in the mirror board, isn't it? Those questions.
It's in each, yeah, I can share my
Yeah,
screen.
and I can show the slide we had. It just, Jardina, you mentioned you were going to share your screen, so.
Okay, I'll just show it from the Miro board then. That's fine. Some of you I see are already in there, but let me just orient you real quick to this. So you'll have to zoom in as you work. So just so you're, but just to orient you of the landscape here, we have the full table here of what Mike was showing you, the type of loss, the description, act, and then we can fill in here actions to address and models, tools, and resources. So we have it organized by individual growth, team and process alignment, purpose and sustainability, as Molly was showing. And then over here, and I'll show you how to zoom in just a second, but these are some of the slides. We have the SCARF model, the types of loss categorized, and then the sample that Mike showed us. And then in this section, we have space for each group to be able to scribe. And I will zoom in. So this bottom part here is how you zoom. And you kind of just move your cursor around to move. So group one, you might come here, and if I just zoom in here even more, you can see we have the instructions right here. So the group discussion will be which type of loss are you looking at? Individual, group, or what's the other one? Sustainability. Sorry, I'm forgetting already. And then have the conversation about how you would describe this type of loss. And then get to the now what. What actions would you take to remedy? What tools and resources could you use? And that was, you can use Molly's example or Mike's example on that as a model. Mike, just correct me here. Is the what type of loss one of the 20 something, or is it one of the buckets?
It's one of the specific ones, Jardina.
Okay, one. Yeah. Okay, so that first question, what is the type of loss, is if you go to the table. Oh, I forgot to lock the table. I see it got moved. It's one of these one through, and I'll scroll down here, one through 21. So the specific type of loss. And let me just lock this table because I know it's hard not to move things when you're looking at them. Okay. Any questions on the instructions for the breakouts or anything I missed, Mike or Molly?
One clarifying thing, Jardina, would be in your small groups to find one person that has a real specific example of one of the 21. And then as a team, work together, ask those questions. What type was it? What actually happened in that particular scenario? What did they do to try to resolve it, or what do they wish they'd done? And any tools that might have been used. So it's a collaborative effort around a specific item.
Thank you, Molly. One other tip here, I'm not sure if you can see my cursor, my full cursor, but if you're tired of seeing all of these visiting maker, visiting this, visiting that, just click this little button here and you can hide that so you don't have to see everyone moving around in there. Okay.
All right. So what do we think for time for your breakout?
Maybe 20 minutes.
I was thinking the same. Mm-hmm. Any questions from anyone on the instructions? Okay.
Okay, hold on. So I had the room set and I've had a handful of folks that have stepped away. So now I need to rearrange folks a little bit.
Well, while you do that, Tanya, I wanted to just share with the group, we are planning to keep one breakout in the main room, correct, Tanya?
Yes.
Which we will use for the recording. So if anyone doesn't want to be part of that, raise your hand. Okay, we have one. Margaret doesn't want to be part of that.
Okay. Margaret, we got
and
you.
Kathy doesn't. Room. Oh, Kathy doesn't.
Magically worked already. And
thank you.
Kathy and Margaret are in the same room. That's the way it randomly sorted. So we're good. All right. Then if we're ready, this is the same information that's kind of in the mural board. So if anybody has any questions, just raise your hand and I can pop into your breakout room and also see if I can help with any things once you're in there and going. All right, so the rest should leave the room and Jardina, your group will stay here in the main space.
Okay.
And I'll stop screen sharing so you can.
Okay, hi everybody.
Hi. Hello.
Maybe we can just do quick introductions and then get into the questions. I think you already met me. I'm Jardina. I'm on the board of ODF and I jump in to volunteer for things like this.
Hi, I am Rochelle Jacobson and I apologize for all the noise behind me. I'm at HR Tech this week and I am sitting in the expo hall where all of the everything is going on around me. So I'll try to stay muted mostly, but lots of noise.
Okay, understood.
Hey everyone, I'm Sarah. I'm a organizational effectiveness specialist. This is the first time I've joined one of these sessions.
Oh, okay, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Aurea Ramirez. I'm Organization Effectiveness Manager in Mexico for Coca-Cola for Latin America. It's my first time in this kind of exercise, and I meet some of you in Minnesota in May in the forum, in the Organization Design Forum.
Great, nice to see you again. And then Daniel, it looks like you just joined us here. We're just doing quick intros.
Yeah, I've just joined. I was driving and I've just arrived. Am I 24 minutes late?
No problem. We're going to walk through this group exercise. The first thing, let's just get to it here, is what type of loss would jumps out at you most or most resonates? So we'll have to pick one as a group to focus on. So we have this list. Can you all see the list, or do you want me to share? It's also in the invite if you don't have the Miro. Daniel, do you have the link? I can share.
Yeah, I have a link.
You have the link. Okay.
I can share a story if that helps.
Yes, please.
So this is a story that always occurs to me when I think of losses and gains, because it was such an aha moment for me. Was doing a redesign in a nursing space, and the intention was for the nurses and the certified nursing assistants to have a different sort of partnership working together, where the nursing assistants would be taking on more of the, you know, more menial tasks from the nurses, so that the nurses would have more time to attend to more patients. And one of those activities that the certified nursing assistants were taking was bathing the patients. And so, of course, you would think that would be something that they would gladly give up. It's, you know, it's not something that I would think of as being a glamorous task, and certainly something that they could probably do without in their day. But there was just a ton of resistance to giving up this task. And so talking with one of the nurse leaders, she just could not understand what was going on. Why were they so, you know, in her words, resistant to this? You know, they must just really be resistant to change and all of these typical things we hear. And so I said, well, what did they say when you asked them? What was their reasoning? And of course, she hadn't asked them. So she goes back and asks them and opens up a dialogue. And it turns out for them, it was because when they are bathing the patients, they're able to see the patient's skin, and they're able to see, you know, the patient's health and how they're doing. It's their opportunity to really connect with that patient's well-being. And to them, it made them a better nurse. It gave them the opportunity to be better at their jobs because they had more insight into that patient's health. And so that's where this, you know, quote unquote resistance was coming from, was this, you know, call it loss of, I don't know how we want to categorize it, loss of competence or meaningful work or whatever that might be, but it was really eye-opening that there was a truly meaningful reason behind it.
Thank you for sharing that. I think sometimes we label things resistance when we don't know the explanation, right?
It's exactly easy to be resistant.
So what type of loss would you call that? I don't know, Rochelle, are you able to see the chart? The table, I mean?
I think all I'm seeing right now is the people. I'm not seeing the screen for some reason.
Oh, no, we sent the link for the Miro. I stopped sharing. I can share.
Oh, that. I'm a little challenged.
I can share, but there's quite a few. So, well, I guess the first question is, would you think that's individual, team and process, or purpose and sustainability?
I don't know. What do others think?
Well, when you said, do I have a link, did you mean a link with this list?
I'll share the link again, just in case. Yeah, it's the link to the Miro.
Okay, so I can see it now. I guess I would say maybe individual.
Okay, so now of the individual, there's competence, confidence, routine, certainty, and self-concept, self-image. I almost think competence because it was hurting their ability to be competent.
Just looking at all the others, but the only other one I could think maybe is purpose. It's probably a combination of the two.
Yeah, the reason we exist, right?
Yeah, the needs we serve, the reason we exist. And for
Yeah.
them, it was about being able to serve that need.
Yeah. But I think it's about the competence to meet the purpose.
Yeah, I think confidence is probably the one that fits the best.
So before we get to the so what, like, are there other examples or other what's? Like, do other people, like, do we like this one of if we went with competence, or is there something else that jumps out at you or that you have an example of?
For me, at work where I work currently, I'm from Botswana, by the way, and with a telecommunication company here. My department is just going through some change. We're merging some functions, and I can see I also have competency loss where I've been having some competency in skill A, and now when my job is merging certain functions together, and some of those functions I'm going to meet them for the first time. These are some of the things that I'm picking up amongst the team that I lead. Yeah. So sometimes you're wondering, okay, why are some tasks being assigned and it's like they are moving slowly or they are not being picked up? So something like what you just said earlier, it's easy to just say people are resisting change. And then, but when you actually just get to try and understand, you hear some talks about, can you arrange this training for us? Can you help me close this gap? Those kind of things. So sometimes, when you are in an organization, financial constraints can lead you to conclude that people are resisting change. Like when you think of it, the cost of training, and you think the budget is not there now, you might think people are resisting change just because you are not able to capacitate them.
Okay, so would you say that that's competence, or what type
Yeah,
of loss would you call it?
I think it's competency.
Okay, I'm going to stop sharing so I can see here. I'm going to call us group one. Okay, so if we so we're we've 10 minutes left, so we've I know I want everyone to share, but would we want to go out forward, move forward with the rest of the questions under competency, or does someone have a different thought there? Are you cool with that, Sarah? And
I think there's also, I can see from the list, I can see loss of access to decision makers.
Yeah. Okay, so which one do you want to focus on for the other three questions here of drilling
Well, we
down?
can go with the competency because it resonates with the previous contributor as well.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do that and see how it goes. So how do we describe the loss, the competence? So he has it in the, let's see over here again. The description was knowledge, skills, abilities of individuals to successfully perform tasks to achieve desired outcomes, the know-how. So is there anything that we would add to that description? I'll put the example of nurses.
You
I have
can
that.
take the one that I just shared from the telecommunication space.
Yeah, what was the, can you help me summarize it?
It's a structural change, a structural optimization, we can say that.
And how does it affect the competence?
Where maybe my job description, my previous job description, has got some other functions coming into it, some new skills added on that I haven't yet acquired.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Now let's hear from some other folks that we haven't heard from yet. What do we think? What actions could you take to remedy some of these competence issues? Or even said a different way, what have you seen work and what have you seen not work when addressing loss of potential loss of competence?
I think it's something that we experience in all our projects, right? Then I think we need to have a methodology in order to at least have like the summary of the main competencies that we want to transfer when we make these kind of changes, no? For example, if I make the union between two areas, I need to have at least a checklist of the process and the checklist of the competencies. I think this thing we can help us to we don't lose this kind of competency. At least we have what kind of things we need to have, right? If we don't have all, at least we can make it something like training or something like that.
Okay, training. What else?
I think having clear process to achieve the necessary outcomes is important as well.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing I would add is timeline. Like expectation, that's timeline expectations. So that's what I see that's often missing is we say you're going to have all these new skills, right, Daniel? And they think they need to have those skills on day one. And then the leaders will say, oh, no, we don't expect you to know it right away, but when? How soon? What's my timeline? How much time do I have to learn this?
Well, and I think while you're doing and preparing for all of this, you need those folks who will be doing the work involved along the way. So some of what we talked about is has been the leaders making these decisions. And I think maybe Rochelle said it while she was explaining her example that they didn't discuss that with the folks who were actually doing the work. And so making sure you involve them and bring them along so that they feel part of the change and not that the changes are all happening to them.
You know, I think I love that. And I think the maybe also impact of competence loss, because I think that being one of the guilty parties here, we don't really consider that competence loss sometimes. And then everyone's screaming, like, well, we're not going to be able to give the patients the best care. And it's like, oh, but look at these nice reports we're going to get, you know? All right, any, what else in terms of remedy?
I like that point about involving them. This scenario that I was in, unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to continue working with that particular team very much longer. But I think giving the nurses the opportunity up front, or even in retrospect, to say, you know, this is the goal, to save you time to be able to attend to additional patients, et cetera, et cetera. How would, you know, what tasks would you see the CNAs taking on, or, you know, how would you go about that? What's most important to you? Giving them the opportunity to sort of co-design.
So can I say that, like, discuss possible trade-offs with impacted people?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, ready to jump to anything else there before we jump to tools, resources, and models? Actually, I would say one other thing. I said, what actions could you take? But I think that the, well, how can I say this? The action to not take, let's put don't. I think that what happens a lot is that the competency is minimized. So like the bathing thing is such a good example. It's like, you know, well, you don't need to be, you don't need to do that. Like, I'm just minimizing that competency. Oh, 2 minutes remaining. Okay. So don't minimize. Okay, let's look at tools. So what resources, tools, and models could we use for this?
For measuring competency or for
remedying the competence loss, the impact of competence loss. Well, I'll share one for this part about involving people along the way. I think facilitation tools are necessary to be able to do that, because I always hear, pet peeve of mine, that people don't want to have all this people involvement because they don't know how to manage that. They don't know how to manage all that input. Okay. Okay, what else? You gave us some remedies, Rochelle, about the nursing example.
I think having like a training and communication plan in place, kind of along with that timeline expectations, so that people have really clear expectations of when they'll receive training, like you said, when they need to be competent with things, and kind of how that will go along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Is there like possible alternative? Oh, everyone's coming back. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, I think everyone is back who stayed on through the process. So. And Jardine, I think, was going to jump in and kind of debrief, but she's probably making notes still because she was scribing for the other group.
Well, that's okay. I have it all in the board. So I see that there's not a lot in the Miro board except mine. So we don't have to share that. We were deciding if we should share a screen. So I guess we're just debrief, take a few minutes to debrief on how it went in your groups. Does anyone want to share an example that you went through of loss that jumped out at you that you want to share with the larger group?
I can share. We, in full transparency, we did not get through the full exercise because we had some technical issues, but I just talked about, I'm an HR business partner with Post Consumer Brands, and we just recently acquired a number of pet food brands from another company. And the loss that we chose to talk about was community. I told my group that I could probably pick any one of those 22 losses, and we could talk about that for hours, but we chose community just because a lot of people weren't necessarily given background about why they were sort of chosen to come over to the to Post, or in a lot of cases, people were put in different roles that they weren't in before to join our company. So, you know, the group, the community, the culture that they felt in their previous company, they didn't necessarily feel that right away. You know, it's kind of like they woke up one day. Well, they did. They woke up one day and they worked for another company. So that was kind of what it was. Again, we didn't get through all the questions, but some of the things that we did do to kind of help with that is we had visits to their office. They were based in Ohio. We invited people to travel. I'm in the Twin Cities, south of Minneapolis, so we invited them to travel here, and then all of us HR business partners jumped on calls and kind of went through. We made sure everyone knew what, you know, HR is very cyclical each year, so we talked about, you know, where we were in the year, and then from the component of community, we talked about our employee resource groups, our mentor program, just different ways that we had that they could connect with different people in the organization. And just get to know different people and feel like this was now their, you know, their home. So that's as far as we got in our discussion. I don't know if there's anything else I can share, or what if anything else would be helpful.
Anyone have any questions for Jamie and Jamie's group, or someone from the group want to add to that?
No, I just want to say that I was in that group. Jamie did a really good job of walking through that. It was a pretty complex, situation, and it kind of captured all the connections that did or didn't happen, as part of that process. So that was good.
I think one of the things that occurred to me as we're going through the process is that so many multiple things can be happening at the same time that you kind of have to get the full picture and then kind of sort it out and figure out what kind of actions you can take to make the transition work better, manage the loss.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to share an example? My group, if you would like to share someone else besides me, please. Or I don't know, how many groups were there, Tanya?
There were five total.
Okay, five groups. Okay, great. So lots of other groups to share. Anyone have a good example? We got like two good examples in my group if one of you wants to share it.
I can share what we talked about in group two, if that helps break the ice. So I used an example. We have been going through some transformational changes in our organization. So this has been going on for over a year, and we are continuing to go through changes upcoming. And I looked at, right now I'm working with a group of people in our finance area, specifically in our controller group, that are going through. They've already been restructured and have become a shared service for the companies we were bringing together. As we brought them together, they've, you know, got new leaders. They're supporting multiple operating companies now. They've got new ways of working. And they're still going through changes. They're still going to be impacted by other future decisions that are coming. And we talked about certainty, specifically the uncertainty of, I can't give you an end game. I can't give you a guarantee that we're not going to go through more changes as we continue to evolve. And that's hard for people, I think, in that sustained change. We thought about change fatigue. So we're doing a workshop with them, but I think what was nice about talking it with my group and group, feel free to chime in. We talked about, you know, how do we get to what are the challenges they're facing in their individual work versus just the big picture things? So how do we get down to what specifically is their barriers or what's getting in their way? What losses are they feeling? There's probably challenges in where do I go if I'm stuck, or who do I ask? Or I don't have that same group of people I used to work with. There could be a range of challenges we don't know. And also getting with that leadership on what is their willingness to help. We talked about some of the things like, could we give them where we're going in the short term versus maybe the long term? So at least to answer some certain questions. Other feedback from our group was reinforcing the why and that caring that we talked about. I think, you know, tools we could use, we talked about listening sessions, ways we can see things up close, maybe even how do they get forums where they can, you know, chat about some of the problems more, or maybe in their huddles, because it's got to be something that they can easily access and have conversations versus being so, you know, just work heavy driven and trying to do it in the day to day. So where could I go if I needed that support? So those are some thoughts we talked about. I think it's really challenging when you think about the individuals, because there's just so many stakeholders is what we identified. Every stakeholder is going to come from a different place. So how do we group them and understand their needs?
Great. Thank you. Any questions about that one or additions from the group? From group two?
I'll just make one addition. I think we were hinting at it. It might have been the next 5-minute conversation that the big shots are going through their own losses, and that may help them empathize with the widespread people. It, you know, it could even get risky if the big shots are supposed to be in charge and everybody else finds out they don't know what's going on either, but it also could create empathy. We didn't get into that, but it seems like we're on the edge of something like that.
Interesting. Thank you. I'll share just a little bit of what happened in our group, and then maybe my group can jump in. But I think one of the things we talked about, loss of competence, and one of the things that we talked about was it's so easy to label people as a resistor when you don't understand why they're resisting. So going a level below just saying they're a resistor, how do we get them to stop resisting, was the first key. And then we talked about, and Rochelle, I think, isn't on anymore because she had to drop, but she gave an example about, that's easy for me to understand, you know, about nurses not wanting to give up bathing patients because that's sort of how they, it seems like a menial task, but that's how they can kind of assess the situation and keep on top of the patient health. And it would be a loss of competence in them doing a good job for the patient. So we came up with some of the actions, nothing like similar to what you all shared. In terms of tools though, you know, we talked about involving people along the way, like Molly, you also mentioned that. So in terms of tools, we thought training and communication plan with timing and expectations of like how long before you are expected to gain a new competence, but also some kind of facilitation tools for being able to bring people in and take their input. Because if you don't know how to bring a lot of people's input in, then you don't want to, right? It's intimidating. So those are some of the tools we talked about. Anyone from my group want to add? Okay. Any one last share is before I go to the next question, which is about how it was to collaborate on this type of thing. Any other shares first, though?
I think, Georgina, just to jump in for a second, in my group, someone talked about the lack of clarity. And in talking about it, there was a cultural spin on it. What you can say and not say as freely, depending on the culture that you're in. And that just kind of put a different perspective on it. What was interesting is Once the conversation started, Alice and Sunita together kind of came up with a unique 1-2 strategy for what they might do the next time when they were trying to help a group bring about clarity. So I think that might be a good setup for your next question, is the value of bringing something into a conversation and then hearing it from other points of view. Just the value in being able to build on that.
Right. Okay, great. Thanks, Molly. So how was that? Anyone want to share what that experience was of collaborating and hearing other points of view in your, for your type of loss?
Are you asking, Georgina, what our experience was in our groups? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, in your group. Yes, thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
Was someone else sharing?
Someone was talking.
I was trying to come in from our group. It's something I remembered something that somebody brought up in our group to emphasize the why, so that people can understand why we're going through that change.
Yes, thank you. I think that sometimes people don't do that.
I'll comment about my experience. We couldn't get the technical aspects to work, but it really didn't matter. We had a really excellent conversation, I thought, and you know, as we walked through this, I felt that people contributed. I also felt that this was a really interesting lens for looking at change, organization change on a broader scale. We talked about community in our group, and it helped us sort of take that big picture look at what's really going on, and then looking at, it really did allow us to look at ways to how do you design differently? How do you create entrees? How do you think about the individual in the context of the bigger picture? So I really appreciated this lens, is what I want, you know, the point that I wanted to make here. Very useful, I think.
Great, thank you, Kathy. I see, Bruce, you're putting a couple of things in the chat about the being able to have empathy by even having the discussion and understanding the range of loss that people are experiencing.
Yeah, definitely. I was experiencing the empathy in our group, and it was helping me open up and relax a little bit, so that I really believe that I'm likely to leave here ready to soak in what other people might be experiencing and care more about it than I did when I started this morning.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Any other takeaways from the experience in the breakout?
I just think it was great to have the varied perspective in our group. You know, it felt like we had some people leaders and some organizational folks and some HR folks, and, you know, just hearing, like, not only do we need to think about the loss from the individual contributor perspective, but also keeping in mind the leader change management experience as well. So it was just nice to hear that perspective difference.
Great, thank you. Okay. With that, I think we can close the session. Mike, Molly, did you have any last words to add before we close? Okay, well, thank you both so much for bringing this session to us. Thank you all for coming. Tanya, do you have any last words before we close?
I just really appreciate the energy that went into kind of designing this session and the collaboration between the group. We did record, so I'll send linked to when we are to where it's all stored on the website, and we'll include the link to the mural board. And I think it'd be interesting to kind of monitor if people go back into the mural board or have something you might like to contribute as a resource to some of the categories. We can capture that and keep building the the table, you know, for tools? Because I think that was kind of the end goal of today's session, was to come up with some tools you might apply to the various experiences. And I'd love to have that be a collaborative effort from the community now that we've opened up this opportunity.
I'll unlock the table so you can add to it.
All right.
Okay.
And thank you, everyone, for your
everybody.
Energy being here. Hope you have a great rest of your day. We've got
Thank you, Mike and Molly. Thank you.
Another one next week. So we're busy this fall.
Take care, everybody.